artist.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I just wanted to offer what at least I, as a member of the personnel committee or the evaluation committee, I'm sorry, at PFW, I view it a little differently, at least than as I'm understanding PFW's action was stated that the LSB submitted a written evaluation. I don't know if I would frame it that way. I guess I would frame it more that, I guess the LSB through the evaluation committee submitted raw data, to the ED for her consideration. We did not submit a written evaluation. In fact, we very decidedly did not submit. This was not our or the LSB's impression of the GM. This was, you know, a lot of people, for both the GM and the PD who, you know, did an evaluation. So I don't know. I'm, you know, just trying to correct, at least from my perspective, it was not the LSB submitted a written evaluation. It just wasn't, but it's just my two cents.
Thanks, Vanessa. So, had everybody put their hands down from before, or is this a new stack? Jim Sagerton, are you on the stack here? Or is that a legacy hand?
I had asked for the stack orally, but my hand is up from before.
Okay. Go ahead then, Jim Dingman. Go ahead, Sagerton.
Okay. I guess it's a...
I think you just muted yourself, Jim. All we heard you say was, I guess, I think, or something. Jim, you're still muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Continue.
Okay, sorry about that. Fat fingers. I guess it's a historical accident that right now, you know, there's only two stations that have functioning general managers, you know, permanent position general managers. So I hope this doesn't become a witch hunt. And I guess this is a personnel issue, so I won't say too much about it here in the open session. But I hope this is even-handed and well done. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. I mean, I'll just respond from my point of view that I don't think it's a witch hunt. I think it's just, you know, trying to instill a little discipline that we need to follow our bylaws, which say we have to do reviews annually. Something that I suspect we've honored more in the breach than the letter of the bylaws. Jim Dingman, go ahead.
Who's the author of this motion?
I am.
Okay. One of the issues that has come up in recent evaluation and personnel selection issues is the clash of California nonprofit code and federal law, and I'm talking about statutory law, with the issues of how these committees are formed. Another question comes up is case law. What's the case law? What's the latest case law that affects the interim manager or program director moniker? What's the current case law that affects the question of how a committee to be set up to evaluate someone is established? Because we encountered that in New York with a problem just recently, and it still has been not clearly resolved with any kind of clarity to some as to what current case law is. So I do think interim people should be evaluated, because in the case in New York, we had someone in there for that position for several years, and we need to get a clear idea about what is the actual law regarding interim positions, because it looks like we're going to have a lot of interim positions. We now have interim unpaid managers. What's the law about that? How do we evaluate that person? So I'm just saying there's a lot of issues that come up here that I think we need real clarity legally about, and a broader sense of it, not just simply going to the bylaws as if they're the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai. Thank you.
Jim, your time is up. Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. I don't disagree with you. I think, certainly the interim GMs that we have now, none of them has been serving as the interim GM for very long. So there's two things. There's the notion of, do you review someone who's only been in their job for a couple of weeks? That just doesn't make sense. They haven't given you enough, you know, there's not enough to review them on, right? But if somebody's been in interim for, you know, quite a number of years, that's probably a very different story, right? So anyway, Jim Segerton already asked this question, I think didn't put his hand down. So Lawrence, you're next.
Thank you. You know, I was talking to, an IGM, this weekend. I'm not going to say who it was. And I found it interesting that he would say, that an IGM is just another name for a GM, in Pacifica. It doesn't seem like even when we have GMs, the retention is not anything to get happy about, right? So I think we should also consider, if an IGM has been in the position for over 90 days or 6 months, that we should take a look at, his performance as, or their performance as well. Because we have two GMs in the whole network that are GMs, then everybody else is an IGM. And we don't have one at A right now. So we have two IGMs, which I found it kind of humorous. But then I realized, yeah, well, that's the pattern. The pattern is that, they either leave or they get chased away. So I think that's something that's systemic and it needs to be addressed somehow. So I don't know, how you would think.
Lawrence, your time is up.
Okay. I'll just finish up in 5 seconds. I don't know how you're going to address that, but I think it's so systemic that we need to take a look at that. Thank you.
Yeah, I thank you, Lawrence. I appreciate that. I don't disagree with you. While I didn't write the motion in the way to say, like, this isn't forever and for always, this is for right here and right now for 2022. I mean, it does say 2022 about WBAI, but, you know, does somebody want to amend the, you know, the whereases don't matter in terms of, like, you know, saying what we're doing in the future, right? The whereases are just setting the stage for the you know, resolving clause. It's the resolving clause that's the action, and it says, you know, review the WBAI GM by the end of 2022 and, you know, basically proceed with the WPFW GM review that's kind of already underway. And I didn't answer Vanessa's point earlier that I think the bylaws say, I mean, and I, it was a quotation, it says to prepare an annual written evaluation of the station's general manager. And, you know, I'm not clear that that it's the case. Okay, let me start that sentence over again without putting so many double negatives in it. A set of raw data on evaluations by, you know, quite a lot of people who interact with the GM, you know, that raw data, because it's written in a way, right? I mean, it's presented to Stephanie as a document, or at least I presume that's how it was presented to Stephanie. To me, that doesn't necessarily disqualify it as being a written review. You know, is it the kind of nice prose that, you know, your boss might write about you as an individual at work? No, but, you know, cause it comes from, you know, not just a committee, but a whole bunch of people. So there's no consensus in there, but that doesn't mean that it's not, you know, that the WPFW LSB, to me, it doesn't mean that the WPFW LSB didn't discharge its duties.
Chair, point of personal privilege.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
I just want to say I agree. I agree with you. I think it is fair to say we have discharged our duty. I agree with your clarification.
Great, thanks. Any further discussion of this motion? Jim Dingman, is that a new hand?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, look, I've been on these evaluation committees before going back into the old board structure. And the only thing I can say from it is I never was on one that was fair in the sense that people use this evaluation process for their own vendettas in times to create a sort of Damocles on the manager's head and essentially try to obfuscate the systemic problems of the stations and the system with putting the blame on the individual general manager or program director. So, you know, I always keep that in mind when I look at these kind of measures being talked about, and I don't know how you guard against that, given the way it gets so political and fiery at the local station board level to want to, you know, take revenge against somebody or not. It just is it's a complicated issue, and that's why I ask that we get some really serious clarity on the legal aspects of this in depth so that we know how to proceed forward and not make a mistake.
Yeah, thank you. And I think honestly, the fact that, you know, what happened in the case of WPFW was that the personnel review committee, as Vanessa reported, didn't, you know, kind of try to, you know, congeal that raw data into a consensus, right? Because there probably wasn't a consensus in there. Or there may or may not have been a consensus, right? It might have been difficult to write something that would have been representative of a consensus. So they did written, but maybe that kind of actually does, you know, knowing that that might not be what happens, maybe people are just, you know, they have less incentive to try to, you know, try and sandbag the review somehow, right? You know, that it's, what you say gets passed on no matter what. So, you know.
Yeah, but as we know right now, the friction is so intense with the fiscal crisis that the willingness to sandbag and stick it to people is much more increased.
But yeah, but I do not disagree with that. So I see Sue Goodwin, Vanessa, and Lawrence's hands. Sue Goodwin, go ahead.
Relevant to what we're talking about right now, is there any standard methodology and specific points of evaluation that is suggested from the board cross station? And if not, should there be?
Hey, do you want to answer that or do you want?
Well, I mean, one of the things to take into consideration as well is that the evaluation process does not rely strictly upon only the information that is provided to me by the station's personnel boards. I take everything into consideration, and that is just one element of an evaluation. There's also the self-evaluation that the employee makes, then the evaluation that I would make based upon the employee, and then take all of that into consideration with the recommendations and the summaries and the comments that are sent to me by the LSB. So it's not just a matter of, oh, this document comes in and then I just blindly take a look at it. I'm aware of some people's motives, for lack of a better word, when they're doing these evaluations, because unfortunately that same information gets sent to me and multiple others via email on a regular basis, where they may not be quite as polite as they would be in the evaluation form. So I do take into consideration everything that's dealing with the evaluation, and to follow the proper procedure with any sort of evaluation, if there are issues and things that need to be changed with that employee, then you start a performance improvement plan and you work to try to make sure that you get that employee up to the level that you want them to be, and you provide them with the tools that are necessary for success. So this is really just kind of a way to get people used to the concept, and the LSBs to used to that concept of, let's go ahead and start this evaluation process with our staff.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Chair, we have run out of time for this issue.
Okay, so I see Vanessa and Lawrence still on the stack. Is there a motion to extend?
So moved.
Chair.
For how long?
2 years off the stack, I guess, on this.
Okay, well, the stack would be Vanessa and Lawrence. Any objections to the motion to extend to exhaust the stack? Hearing none, that's what we will do. Vanessa?
So I just wanted to respond to Dingman's point in terms of the concern about the ability of a committee to be fair. And I think that's historically just been a problem in the network. It's a very, we are a very, you know, political, you know, little p group of people. We have opinions. We care intensely about our station, about the network. We have sometimes very strong opinions as to whether someone is performing well or not. You know, the motives can be ascribed, however motives are ascribed. But, you know, we definitely are an opinionated group of people. I put myself at the top of that list. But I do believe that PFW was really, I think, a model on how this process should work. We left our opinions out of it. We have opinions. We left our opinions out of it. And we consulted with HR and in terms of the development of the tool to try to make sure the tool was fair. There was a self-evaluation tool. There was a non-self-evaluation tool. And then we very carefully followed those directions to just submit the data. And that's what we did.
And Vanessa, your time is up.
And if people do that, if a committee does that, notwithstanding any opinions, I believe the process will be fair. At least it will seek to be fair.
Thank you, Vanessa. And I tend to agree. I thought the process was really well run. And, you know, NEDA HR was, you know, a critical component of the process too. So Lawrence is next. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you, Chair. I served on quite a few GM search committees and evaluation committees. I understand what Jim is saying. It does get kind of biased, because it's so factionalized. Our boards are so factionalized. There tends to be an inherent bias, an implicit bias in some parts. One of the things that I take very seriously is performance evaluations, because as a chief steward for my union, I often get grievances on performance evaluations. So one of the things that I've learned is that there are some basic matrices, like a needs improvement plan, a work improvement plan, as Stephanie was saying. There's also a work duty statement. Maybe it has to be restated because some duties change and stuff like that. So I think one of the things I don't see in this motion, Chair, is a kind of matrix. And I know this consultation that needs to take part with HR and all of that, but my the grievances that I have in front of me on a regular basis are on performance evaluations. And we have a three-tier system. We have level one, level two, level three, and then we have arbitration. So, and I don't think we have afforded ourselves of that process as well. So.
All right, your time is up.
Thank you, Heather. So I would like to see if we could vet this a little further and come up with some kind of matrix, maybe some kind of matrix template that would inform us on how to move forward. Thank you.
Thanks, Lawrence. excuse me. While the WPFW tools were really, I think, designed for WPFW. I think there are lots of ways in which those tools could be used across the network. The specific job duties might differ a little bit, you know, from place to place, but so I think it's maybe not every aspect of the tools that you're, you know, in the matrix that you just mentioned, but it's a good step in the right direction. And I think what I think is that, let's not let perfection be the enemy of the good, in the sense of let's start doing the reviews, right? Build up, you know, exercise that muscle, build up some ability to do that. And then, you know, try and get on a process where what we do is we do these reviews every year. And not only, you know, are our staff and managers getting valuable feedback that helps them improve their performance, we can also improve the process over time as well, right? That it's, you know, there's some sort of introspection afterwards. And for Mary Nadine's benefit, Evelia Jones has joined us, and she's driving. So,
Chair, may I respond to your last point?
Yes, go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, so Lawrence and I are both union people, as we oft report. And I agree with his idea to put a little bit more structure around how this is done to try to avoid what Dingman said, which is sometimes the propensity to kind of stick it to somebody through the evaluation process. What I'm concerned about if people just kind of, and I'm very broadly paraphrasing you, and I know you didn't say this, but just kind of go for it. Let's just start. This is like part of an employee's permanent file, and it can do a lot of harm. It can be a great, wonderful thing, but it can also do a lot of harm. So I agree with Lawrence's idea to, and I agree with you to the extent, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, but it would be good for the stations to have some structure. Maybe it can just come straight from NEDA. You know, while we have them, this is how you do it. This is the ideal way to conduct the evaluation. Because it's such a serious thing. Once those ratings, those opinions are documented and they're part of a person's file, it can just become such a serious matter.
Julie?
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Just to add to this. I agree with both what Lawrence and Vanessa say. It has to be, but I just point out, like, we don't even implement the policy to evaluate shows and producers, which we've passed. There are several motions that have been passed in the past 10 or 15 years on this issue. So we're left with a dilemma with that issue, that we don't have any quote record, if you will, about, okay, we said it is producer X, Y, and Z, and yet the onus is always on the general managers or the PDs who have to deal with this systemic problems at the lower levels, which are never evaluated for a whole host of reasons. So I just point that out. But I think that people in the personnel committee are trying to be fair about this. I do respect that that process is going on right now.
I have a point of order, James.
Go ahead, James Sagerton.
I think, while we're talking about the process and not the personnel involved, it's not specifically a matter of confidentiality, but I think we have to be careful about how we're talking about our own process. I've been guilty of this myself in this conversation. And, you know, when we talk about our evaluations being political or being, unfair in some ways, we're setting ourselves up to be sued for the next person we decide, we no longer want to have with us. So I think some of this conversation about the process and how it may be unfair, of course, we should deal with openly and try to fix that, but we should be careful how we characterize. And again, I'm holding myself responsible for that as well.
Thanks, Jim. I will simply note that, I think one, you know, one of our big problems is that we get sued a lot. And a lot of those lawsuits have to do with, not all of them, but a lot of, some of them, a decent chunk of them have to do with, some version of wrongful termination or so on and so, related to job performance. And so the sense in which, there's a chicken and egg problem here, which is we want to have a good system. And we want to wait till we have a good system, or till we're sure our system is good. But if we're not, reviewing people, then we really are kind of in a way setting ourselves up for, all kinds of problems if in fact someone's employment isn't working out, right? And they don't, and it's a situation that doesn't have that kind of, escape clause of, people's health and safety is endangered and, therefore you can do something because it's a bit of an emergency. And so I appreciate everything everybody's saying. I just think, as a foundation, we need to, and this is one of those areas where we need to, step up our game and show some leadership at the PMB. So we've got a motion on the floor and it's not about the whole, performance evaluation. It's really about making sure that the two GMs who are GMs, basically get evaluated before the end of the calendar year. So, it's a baby step forward. Y'all aren't going to break my heart if you don't vote for it, but I think we have to start somewhere. So, with that, I think we've already exhausted the time on this. So next I will ask, are there any objections to the motion?
Sure, I have an inquiry.
I heard Vanessa and I heard Jim, and Jim said inquiry, and I don't think Vanessa said whether it was inquiry or point of order or what. Go ahead.
I'll let Vanessa go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I was going to say inquiry as well, but please go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then I heard Jim first, so go ahead.
I just wanted to know, we have the motion and there were some things that were said, particularly by Lawrence, that might have been interpreted as an amendment, but I don't think he actually said the word amendment. I just want to be clear if we're voting on the straight, or we're considering now the straight motion as we got it, or have there been any amendments?
No amendments that I'm aware of. I heard suggestions. I didn't hear an amendment.
I guess now I'm waiting to see if somebody wants to say that they have an amendment.
Chair, I'd like to offer an amendment after Vanessa, if that's okay.
Okay, go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, well, I think mine is, I guess, more of a point of order. I was going to ask for it to be reread, unless I can find it in the email, just to hear it again. But I think it would be appropriate for Lawrence to offer his amendment first.
Well, Lawrence, would you like me to read it before you offer your amendment?
Yes, please read it, Chair.
Okay, then I shall read it. All right. Whereas Article 7, Section 3, Paragraph C of the Pacifica Bylaws lists among the duties of the local station boards, quote, to prepare an annual written evaluation of the station's general manager, end quote. Whereas Article 7, Section 3, Paragraph B authorizes the executive director to hire general managers. Whereas three stations, KPFA, KPFK, KPFT, have interim general managers for whom an evaluation is both not required by the bylaws and inappropriate for the short duration these individuals have served in their roles. And whereas WPFW's LSB has already submitted to the ED a written evaluation of the station's general manager, therefore be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board instructs the WBAI LSB to produce a written evaluation of the GM, their GM, in a timely manner and present this evaluation to the ED so that the ED may conduct a performance review of the WBAI GM by the end of 2022, and be it further resolved that the PMB instructs the ED to proceed with an annual performance review with the WPFW GM. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you for reading that again, Chair. That crystallizes it a little bit more, but I'd still like to offer to the body an amendment that I had mentioned earlier. I'd like us to have a three-level system of evaluation, incorporate a needs improvement plan, if appropriate, and also restate the duties if those duties are expanded. So that's my amendment. I don't know if it makes any sense. Marianne, did you get that? Did you get it?
What I got was you propose an amendment to create a three-tiered system. I haven't heard what those three tiers are. And to restate the duties, that's as far as I got.
Okay. Chair, should I continue?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so the three-tier system will be to have a level one system, the initial evaluation. Level two, if some improvements are going to be requested. And level three is if work duty statement has to be restated, in order to, clarify, that's the three level system or the three tier system that I'm recommending. And if somebody would like to second, that'd be fine.
I'll second. I didn't understand it. If you could repeat it, but I'll second it. I think I support it in principle.
Okay. So when I repeat things, they often change.
Okay.
So I'm asking Marianne to repeat it.
What I got was that you propose an amendment to create a three-tiered system. Level one would be an initial evaluation. Level two would be if improvement is requested, and I need to understand what about if improvement is requested. Level three is a work duty statement needs to be restated. You're going to have to expand a little on
okay,
that.
Okay, so the work duty statement that needs to be restated is if they are taking additional responsibilities on. And then the second one is the initial evaluation phase, that's level one. Level two will be if there's going to be areas of improvement or areas that are strong. This should be strength based. So that's my amendment. I hope that clarifies it for you, Vanessa.
So I think Lawrence, if I may, the notion that you had three levels, it just kind of means that there's three parts. It's not like
Right.
I mean, you can call them levels or you can call them parts. I just didn't want people to be confused by the nomenclature there. And that it sounds to me like what you're suggesting is that the first part, right, everybody gets an initial evaluation. And then the improvement in the restating duties may or may not be appropriate in every instance. But the fact is you go through the motion of asking, do we need to have an improvement, you know, improvements requested, or do we need to restate the person's duties?
Thank you, Chair. That's it.
Yeah.
So you don't have to change the motion for that, Marion, but that was just, I think I wanted to restate that, and at least as I understood it, just, you know, in case that helped others understand it. And I'm assuming that this amendment is an amendment to a resolving clause.
Yes,
it needs a second, Chair. I'm sorry.
But did Vanessa say that she would second it?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. It's an amendment to create a three-part system. Seconds. Okay, and this would go at the end of the resolutions, then the resolving?
Yes, I think that makes sense. Just add it to the end.
Therefore be it. Okay, got it.
Jay, you got two hands up. Teresa and Jim.
Yeah, I do. Sorry. Teresa, go ahead.
I think this just calls to our attention that we really need HR to be handling this stuff. I mean, this is very complicated, and for 22 people to be making these decisions, I just think this is just not, it's not a healthy way to handle it. I mean, I think that the person that has the most HR experience on this call right now is Darlene Pagano. And we don't have Netta on the call to pull us in if we're getting really, really deep into and complicating the steps that we need to do an evaluation. This is like this, doing something by committee like this is it's very complicated, and I don't think it's healthy.
Thanks, Teresa. Jim Dingman, then Lawrence.
Well, I recently looked at the list of people who were laid off several years ago in New York, and the combined salaries of the functions that Mr. Reimers took over easily exceed about $200,000 in more in salary. In other words, he had to take over the development director's job, the public affairs, arts, and other people, plus support people were laid off. So I have to throw that in the mix for the record, because New York is sort of an unusual situation, because the entire support staff and functional staff doing different parts that exist, let's say in Berkeley, they were removed. They're gone. It's down to only one person or two people. And so to evaluate that job is without including those additional tasks taken on is an interesting and complicated question. Thank you.
Yeah, agreed. I will note that that's looking forward. That's not necessarily specific to the motion that we've got here. So, Lawrence and then Vanessa.
Thank you. So in the 20 years of being a steward and being on joint labor management committees, I have dealt with HR on a very intimate and on a very impactful basis, very critical basis, where employees' jobs were at stake, or reprimands or consequences were going to be given. So I have a lot of experience dealing with HR as well. And I know that I'm not an HR person, but I have, very strong relationships with HR, as a public servant, as a government worker. So I know how impactful, things are for employees. And I just, think that this is a start. I don't object to, Netta taking a look at this as well, but I think this is a start. This is something that has not been in place, and I think that's why that's the spirit that I make the motion. Thank you.
Thanks. I'll just chime in here for a moment and say, you know, Vanessa and Lawrence both have union experience. Stephanie also, by virtue of being an executive, has, you know, at least some experience with HR too, and you know, kind of was part of it, talks to our HR consultant at NETA quite routinely. And, so we've got a couple of people in, you know, I've worked under, I've been a manager myself and worked under, you know, several different, kind of evaluation systems and, you know, these sound reasonable. Vanessa, go ahead.
So I wanted to respond to, Teresa's concern in terms of, just an unwieldy number of people working on an evaluation. So at PFW, there were five, I think. The chair opened it up to the entire LSB, and to our great surprise, we were the only ones who were interested. So I guess theoretically, it depends on what process an LSB decides to use. It could be, you know, a certain number of people. It could, you know, be opened up to the entire LSB, and things get so political sometimes, maybe everybody would want to be on it. I don't know. But I think it's certainly easier to control a process and try to make it more fair with fewer people. The five of us were at PFW were extremely determined to be as objective as humanly possible. So I'd like to, I think, make an amendment, which, but I'm not sure what it would be. The principle is for NEDA to get HR input on the process, which is how we proceeded at PFW. It's sort of critical steps. We developed a draft tool. Then we went to NEDA and said, hey, is this okay? And they said, yes. And then as we gathered data, we went to NEDA and we said, hey, how should we do this? Who should get it? And then we followed that. So, I don't, not knowing what kind of access we're going to have to HR advice.
Vanessa, your time is up.
Okay, not knowing what that's going to look like, if there could be something, maybe get from NEDA now some guiding principles. I'm not sure, but some sort of input from an HR professional to guide the process for a committee, so at least it can look to some objective source. I don't think Stephanie should be the source. She's the one who's evaluating. So I don't think it's appropriate to include her in the, hey, how's this tool? Hey, how's this? How's that? It just seems like a bit of a conflict of interest. So I'm not sure how to frame that in terms of getting HR input to help LSBs. Sorry I went over time, Heather.
How about, Vanessa, if your amendment would simply add somewhere in maybe to the resolving clause that Lauren's amendment was, that it would add something to the effect of that the ED consult with an HR professional to ensure a fair process.
That the ED or the LSB?
Well, okay, that the ED and LSB consult with an HR professional to ensure a fair process.
That works for me.
Okay. ED and...
That the ED and LSB consult with an HR professional.
To ensure a fair process. Got
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
James will second that amendment.
Now, wait a minute. Where exactly is this, would this be?
So this goes in the third resolving clause that was Lawrence's motion or amendment. So he was saying do these three parts, right?
Yeah.
And so this is adding to that. Just
okay.
That the ED and LSB would consult with an HR professional to ensure a fair process.
This would be tacked.
And that's Vanessa's motion.
Thank you, Julie.
And Jim Sagerton seconded it, I believe. So we have, okay, I'm a little bit confused maybe about where we are right now, except that I know that we just had a motion, I mean, an amendment. So.
Well, at this point, there are two amendments.
There are two amendments. So.
Yeah. You vote on the last one first, Chair.
Yeah, we vote on the last one first. That's right. So is there any further discussion of Vanessa's amendment? Is that why your hand is up, Jim Dingman?
Yeah, I'm just concerned that, of course, people should be evaluated, program directors and general managers. However, I can't ignore the current context of what's going on. We have varying, at times irreconcilable, clashes at the local station board levels as to what divisions of what should be done are. And I do not doubt for a minute that this kind of process is going to be very difficult to be implemented in an objective fashion. It's going to be hard. I respect the fact that HR people are to be brought in. But depending on, you know, who is holding the dominant sway in an LSB, hypothetically, they could be very antagonistic and have their own objectives to decide to coop. Let's get rid of this person because he's an obstacle to our vision. And in fact, that's what's going on at the local station board levels. So I just throw that in the mix because that's the practical reality, and particularly the financial pressures, it's going to get worse and get more nasty. Thank you.
Okay. So the first, thing that we do now is, because I don't see any more hands, the first thing we do now is we check and see, are there any objections to Vanessa's amendment, the one about consulting with HR to ensure the fair process. Are there any objections to that amendment to the motion? Hearing none, that amendment is approved.
Okay.
So that now means that we're at the point of voting on Lawrence's amendment, which has been amended by Vanessa's amendment. And that is to add that third resolving clause that talks about the three-tiered system with the initial evaluation, the requested improvements, and restatement of work duties. And now with the, and consulting with an HR professional to ensure a fair process. Are there any objections to that amendment? Hearing none, that amendment carries. So now we're at the point of voting on the motion on conducting performance reviews of GMs, as amended by Lawrence's and Vanessa's motion. Are there any objections to the motion as amended? Hearing none, the motion carries. All right. That gets us to, I thought by now we'd be adjourning to executive session, I know. And we have to leave, we do have to leave time in the executive session. So the next item that was on the agenda, which I listed as a 30-minute item, was, because I was expecting more discussion there than on the previous motion, but at any rate, was the motion from Jim Dingman that GMs and PDs are empowered to correct issues. Shall I read the motion, Jim, or would you like to?
Well, Julie, at this point with our discussion about the financial situation, I don't know whether it even has any relevance at this point to the kind of situation we're dealing with.
We do have, go ahead.
I mean, I would personally be willing to put it off for another time because I think that what was just discussed earlier in the meeting, that is the need to concentrate energy on the immediate financial problems. I mean, this is obvious what I've stated there. Let's hope that they're doing it. But I don't, you know, to just move things along, you know, we can perhaps suspend it for another time.
Are there, all right. So what I heard Jim Dingman say was that he was moving to postpone this motion.
James, move to postpone. Exactly.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Lawrence seconds, Chair.
Thank you, Lawrence. Are there any objections to the motion to postpone this agenda item? Hearing none, it is postponed. Actually, what we could have just done is had a motion to adjourn to closed session.
I make a motion to adjourn, yeah.
Thank you. Are there any objections to the motion to adjourn to closed session? Hearing none at 10:24 p.m. Eastern time, we are adjourning to closed session. And folks, take a 5-minute break because I have to get Polina to cut us off the stream and I need to text her and hear confirmation back from her that we're off the stream.